4 baptisms this morning, 3 babies, including Vivian and Charles at this service, and 1 very big brother, Weston. 4 baptisms at this font, new life, new faith, new birth, and the days are getting longer now for us. Hope, there's great reason for hope. 4 baptisms at this font today, and as we gaze now upon the Advent wreath, we see there are 4 candles lit. The scene at Bethlehem below that Advent wreath is starting to come together. And here in the altar, in the shepherds are in the rocky hills. They're putting in a day's work. What are they doing? They're punching the clock. And they're wondering what the point of life really is. They're wondering if they're ever going to escape the monotony of caring for sheep. They're wondering if this boring daily routine of theirs will go on forever. Shepherds, they're there in the hills above Bethlehem, and they're wondering if they'll have enough money to buy food for their family this week. They are wondering if God cares about them, or if the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of their ancestors, even exists. 4 candles are lit. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together. And in the evening sky, a strange star appears, bringing some measure of illumination to the darkest and coldest days of the year. And in the east, in the Saudi Arabian desert, the sand blows, the camels trudge through the night. The wise men know not where they are going, but filled with hope, in steadfast faith, somehow they journey on towards Bethlehem. 4 candles are lit. The scene of Bethlehem is coming together. Mary and Joseph, they've come a long way from Nazareth. They left the Galilee 10 days ago on foot, on donkey, traveling the dusty pathways and Roman roads. But their mysterious journey, as you know, began long before that. 9 months had passed since the angel had surprised Mary with improbable news. Let's be honest, it was not improbable, it was impossible news. But the angels reminded Mary, and they remind us, that nothing is impossible with God. 4 candles are lit. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together. Mary and Joseph spend their last night in Jerusalem as they are traveling. The final leg of their journey was relatively simple. They had already come some 86 miles. They had only 4 miles to go, relatively flat. By evening, they would be in Bethlehem. This would be the first baby for the teenager Mary. A first baby. And she was having it on the road without the relative comforts of home. Labor and delivery without her mother there, without her aunts there to assist her. Oh yes, Mary trusted God, but let's be honest, Mary must have been apprehensive, nervous, might we say frightened. Mary was in deep, uncharted waters. Keep in mind, too, that childbirth was the most dangerous undertaking a woman would ever face. Many would die in childbirth 2,000 years ago. With God, nothing would be impossible. Labor? Had her labor begun on the 23rd day of December? Would her labor last 20 hours or 50 hours? And remember, too, there'd be no monitors, no hospital, no fancy labor and delivery rooms, no drugs to help with the pain. Labor. Our mothers labored to bring us into the world. It's a boy, it's a girl, it's a baby, 6 or 7 pounds of flesh and blood and water moving precariously between one world and the next. Labor. Our mothers labored to bring us into the world. Now Mary is laboring, totally out of control. But all it would take is one complication. One complication in this labor could end her life or the life of her precious child. You see, this is among the thinnest places in the human experience. The thinnest places between this world and the next, birth and death. The wall that separates this world and the next is paper thin now. The helpless dying as they depart this world, and the helpless baby along for the ride, about to begin life in a new world. The thinnest place. Now, it should be noted that rarely does one die as they are caring for the dying. But it's very different in labor. Both mother and child are in unparalleled peril. A thin place between life and death, between one world and the next, between the human and the divine. You know, birth is the only experience, really, shared by all people of all lands, times, colors, and religion. Now, all people will die, too. We know that. The similarities between death and life are striking, but really the only common human experience is birth. After all, people die in a thousand different ways. Some die young. Some die very old. Some deaths are violent. Some are very peaceful. There's no common story to death. But there is only one way to enter this world. And we're all the same age when we are born. We are mostly the same size as we emerge from, might we say, the same womb, the womb where God knit us together. From embryo to fetus, we float in the warmth and the comfort and the safety of our mothership. Our world is self-contained. Our brains are not weighed down with past regret and shame. We bring nothing with us down that birth canal. We are not in control, and we are not living with the illusion that we are in control. Now, this labor, as you know from the biblical story, finds its root in the opening pages of our story. Adam and Eve were told that they would die if they ate from the tree. What did they do? They ate from the tree. But a loving God would not make good on this lethal promise. The consequence of disobeying would be labor. Difficult labor in childbirth for the woman and hard labor in the pursuit of daily bread for the man. Okay, it's December 23rd. Is Mary already in labor? Are contractions moving the infant from the warmth and safety of the womb to a world unimaginable in its beauty, but also in its danger? Nothing would be impossible with God. Mary, a teenager giving birth, and she's mostly alone. Joseph, no matter how loving and attentive he was still a man. He had no idea what was happening. He had no idea what to do. Boil water, Joseph. Nothing would be impossible with God. 10 centimeters. Mary's labor would continue until she reached 10 centimeters. Now, perhaps you have not yet mastered the metric system. 10 centimeters is less than 4 inches. 3.9 inches in full dilation. Mary would labor. Jesus, he was just along for the ride. The birth canal is tight quarters, and the opening to the next world is impossibly small. But nothing would be impossible with God. God with us. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together. And the scene itself is not inconsequential. This is where God enters the world. God chooses to enter the world. How? As you entered the world, as I entered the world. God enters the human story as a human, and it was painful, and it was dangerous, and it was bloody, and it was a mess. A fitting metaphor for the journey ahead, a fitting metaphor for your life and for mine. 4 candles lit. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together. And look at that manger and imagine the innkeeper. The innkeeper going about her daily routine. What's she doing? She's changing linens and preparing for strangers who will next occupy her Airbnb. Most of our lives are like that, are they not? What do? We change linens. We make dinner. We take out the garbage. 1,000 rather mundane details that are critical to the human experience. Now, the innkeeper had so much to do. The strangers were arriving because of the census. The inn would be filled to capacity by evening. And as she changed those sheets, unknown to her, the world was about to change. And she was going to be a part of it. Now, no one had ever given birth at her inn before. You see, there was a reason that women stayed close to home as their due date approached. 4 candles lit. Christmas is almost here. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together. Look closely. Is it possible that you were there? Could you find yourself in this story? Well, let me ask you, are you tired? Are you tired of days without power and heat and water? Amen? Are you tired of the mundane nature of your life? Are you wondering if God cares about you? Are you wondering if God is really working in the world? Are you wondering if there even is a God? And if there is a God, then why? Why does my child suffer from depression or addiction? If there is a God, then why? Why was my spouse taken from me, or why did my spouse leave me? Why is there so much misery in the world? Why do children refuse to call even on Christmas? And why? Why are the golden years, let's just say, not so golden? God with us. God comes to dwell with us. Did you get that? Emmanuel, God with us. God does not rescue us from the human journey. No, God joins us on the human journey. God took on flesh and blood to show us a better way of living and a better way of loving. But what's happened? Over the past 2,000 years, Christmas has become a holiday season focused on giving. We could blame the wise men, perhaps. Or maybe we could blame Sears or Macy's or Amazon. Christmas has become a season of giving. You know it. She deserves a diamond from Zales, does she not? She would love to wake up and find a new Lexus with a bow on it sitting out in a snow-covered driveway. Who wouldn't, right? Christmas has become a season of giving. And the mascot of Christmas, well, in our culture, the mascot of Christmas is not a poor couple giving birth in a stable. After all, who wants to think about poor people at this time of year? Poor people who would soon be refugees fleeing for their life. Who wants to think about Arabs crossing the desert, unclean stargazers who worshiped other gods? Four candles are lit. Christmas will soon be here. And at the center of Christmas for us is our mascot, Santa Claus. Everyone recognizes Santa Claus. But very few people recognize poor families who stand outside our gated communities and our waterfront homes. Santa Claus, he knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Christmas has become a season of giving. But as Jesus was born, all that was needed was a receiving blanket. You see, my friends, Christmas is really about receiving, opening your arms and your hearts to Jesus, a receiving blanket. All we can do when a baby arrives in this world is to receive them. And when we were born, what did we do? We let out a mourning cry. We squinted to open our eyes, and what was that day for us? It was Christmas, because everything we saw was a gift to us, smiling faces, and the joyous tears of our mother holding us close to her breast, and a world that we did nothing to create, a world that we did not deserve. It was all a gift, and all we had to do was receive it. It was Christmas. The gift of Christmas is Jesus, a baby, fingers and toes, flesh and blood, and great hope for the future. The gift of life given for us, but for all the people of the world. And the only response to such a gift is to give thanks. We did nothing to deserve it. We did not knit that baby together. We did nothing to deserve the love and forgiveness given to us by God. The only logical response is to receive the gift and give thanks. Christmas, God with us, Emmanuel. Mysterious, awe-inspiring, impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The scene in Bethlehem is coming together, and we're going to be there on Christmas Eve when that baby is born. So open your hands, open your arms, open your heart, and receive the gift of Jesus. Now, I'm not really sure what's on your Christmas list this year, but I can promise you this. You are loved just as you are. Black or white, rich or poor, sick or healthy, young or old, gay or straight, you are loved just as you are. Now, I'm not sure what's on your Christmas list this year, but I can promise you this. Your sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Your sins are forgiven and you're free to love and to live, to forgive yourself and to forgive others. I'm not sure what's on your Christmas list this year, but I can promise you this. God is with you. Emmanuel. God is always with you in life and in death, in joy and in despair. Now you can run, you can hide, but guess what? God will find you. Four candles lit. Light shines in the darkness. Christmas, it's about receiving. With God, all things are possible. Let us reflect now on Mary's journey and our own as Carl sings for us.